is an orphan. An orphan is a child without parents, right? An orphan is a child without parents. Now you say, well, mister, how can you say that all of us are born an orphan? Midwife, when the midwife or the doctor take you from the mother, you are not in the hands of your parents. And even if your mother could take you from the womb herself, do it all by herself, and take you into her hands, you have some moment there or some time that separates you from a parent. Am I correct or not? So if it's nothing but a second, every one of us for at least a second is born orphan. And really, we are born orphan for longer than that, because that baby has to get acquainted with his mother. That baby doesn't come here knowing mother. That baby can go to anybody and accept that person. That baby has to have time to become acquainted with mother, and it becomes acquainted with daddy much later. That dude can walk out of the house 10 months later, probably the baby might not even wonder, might not even miss anything. Especially these dudes that's walking around here in Chicago now and in New York and Los Angeles. They can walk out after 5 years and they might not be missing. Nothing, not notice anything gone. You see? Yeah. So every one of us is born orphan. Now, I see the birth really taking place in the womb over that period of 9 months. That's where I see the birth taking place. Now, there is a living fetus, there is a living child in the womb, especially after about 6 or 7 months, there's a full developed child there. Full developed child there. And just kept there, because some come out 7 months and they're fine. They didn't need any longer. They didn't need any more time. They're just fine. 8 months, sure, many. 8 months, everything's fine. They didn't need any more time. But then the average time is 9 months. So we are kept there like we're detained a little bit, aren't we? Everything's finished and he's detained there. Detained there for what reason? For you to want something in the womb. That baby get dissatisfied with captivity. It realizes it has a potential for more than this space that is locked up in. It has a potential for more than this environment it's locked up in. And it begins to flex its muscles and punch at the womb. Let me out of here. Poop, poop. Give it a karate knee, a karate knee, a poop, poop. And the mother says, this child ready to come out of here. So we are all born orphan. We are created first and orphan. Now I will go to Scripture. Whether we are Jews, Christian, or Muslim, we all believe that Adam is the name in Scripture for the first man. Whether we are Jews, Christian, or Muslim, we all identify a first father. A first father. And we call his name, Muslims say Adam. And English is Adam. And I think Jewish pronunciation is very similar. Adam. That's Adam. Now, was Adam born and given to parents? Was he born and delivered to mother and father? No. So he was born orphan, wasn't he? So Adam was created an orphan. An orphan. And God had to give him all the care he needed. Directly. Huh? Directly. Not through another man, not through man or through woman. He had to give that Adam, the new created person, all the care he needed, God had to give it directly. Yes. Now we have a surah, a chapter in Quran. And it reads, أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ. Have you observed the one who denies or make a lie of religion, you can remove his deed from lie, kethava, lie, deny, falsely state, etc. فذلك الذي يدعو اليتيم, that is the one who يدعو اليتيم, who placed the orphan out of good circumstances, who put the orphan in bad circumstances. يدعو اليتيم, he puts the orphan in bad circumstances. Or more directly to what God wants us to hear, he put the orphan in circumstances that God did not design for the orphan. Yeah, do earlier things. And in putting the orphan in circumstances that God did not plan for the orphan, he puts the orphan in circumstances that will not favor the orphan's life and future. فذلك الذي يدعو اليتيم ولا يحض على طعام المسكين. And he does not encourage or promote the feeding of the one in bad fortune, or the one who suffers no opportunity, a very poor opportunity. He does not encourage the feeding of the one, or promotes the feeding of the one who is in bad circumstances. In bad circumstances. He is a miskin. It means a person who suffers misfortune. A person who suffers misfortune. Now, he does not encourage the feeding of this person who suffers misfortune. I'm going back to the first, but first we want to talk about this part right here. He does not encourage the feeding of the person, or promote the feeding of the person who suffers misfortune, the orphan, and the person who suffers misfortune. So we have two here, don't we? We have the orphan, and we have the person who suffers misfortune. The orphan is one without father and mother, without parents, to give it what God intended for it, natural support, natural nourishment, nourishment from the mother's hand, the mother's heart, the mother's life, and the father's strength, and the father's industry, etc. So the child is deprived of that, given from a natural parent that cares for it and has no prejudice against it, has no prejudice and no hesitation to give it all it can give it. You see? This is very serious. And he does not encourage or promote the feeding of the one who suffers misfortune. This feeding, doesn't the orphan suffer misfortune? See, we see two, but both of these can be the orphan. First you are an orphan, and then you become miskin. You see? First there's an orphan, and then in time the orphan becomes the miskin. The person who is miserable, poor, without help, because of his circumstances, because of his or her circumstances. Bad circumstances, misfortune. This feeding is more than what we would think. Right, it is addressing food, physical food, vegetables, meat, vegetables, etc. is addressing that. But more importantly, it is addressing the food of the intellect. Food for the intellect. Now, you say, well, where do you come up with these two ways of translating? It is in the tradition, in the sunnah of the Prophet, in his sayings, traditional sayings, that for every verse there is a direct meaning and an implied meaning. A direct meaning and an implied meaning. A direct reference and a hinted reference. Dear people, we talk about ourselves as soul people, soul folks. And the establishment must have liked it because they promoted soul training. Let me tell you something about my understanding of the soul. And when I say mine, I mean what I have learned from study, from searching, and pleading to God for understanding. The soul is a very big entity. You know, if you ask five of these people to tell you what soul is, most likely you're going to get at least three different descriptions or three different answers when they tell you what soul is. But most of us will say, our soul is deep, something deep in me. We all know it's something deep. Soul is something deep in me. Something deep in me that makes me feel, makes me worry, makes me feel lonesome, and makes this and that. That's correct. But if your soul is something deep in you that has an awareness, can't you accept that soul is also a conscience? Soul has to be a conscience. If it's something deep in you that makes you feel something, make you aware of something, because when you're sad, you say you're down in the soul. When you're happy, you say he's up in his soul, right? When he's lazy, you say he's dying in his soul. When he's aggressive, industrially, etc., you say he's alive in his soul. So can't we see soul, that soul is another name for also conscience? Yes, it is the first conscience, soul. And that's the meaning I'm giving you right here today. Soul is original conscience. Original conscience. First conscience. Conscience that you created with. That's soul. And the doctor in the hospital may tell you it's psyche. P-S-Y-C-H-E. It's psyche. You know? And he might say, well, the problem is in your psychology. He say, I think I can help you. But the problem is right in your psychology. And another man will say, a preacher will say, right in your soul. Right in your soul. So the soul is the first conscience. First conscience. And we have been told that Satan wants to purchase the souls of the people. Satan comes and offers us a price, and he says, all I want is you just to sell me your soul. Huh? That's all he wants. He doesn't want to buy your mind. And I can understand him not buying a lot of our minds today. Or they won't even help, these minds won't even help Satan today. Send him to the nut house. But Satan want to buy a soul. He doesn't want to buy your brain. He doesn't care how stupid you are. He want to buy your soul. He just wants that soul. Because once he gets that soul, he has not only you presently, but he has you also in the future. When he gets your soul, he has the future person. Because the soul is like the seed that the farmer will plant or the gardener will plant and get the maximum maturity of that potential in that seed. We'll get a tree, a corn stalk with 6 or 7 years of corn, or we'll get a crop of some cotton or whatever, you know. So the soul is like the seed of your life. Soul is like the seed of your life. And the intellect is the digestive system of your soul. So the intellect is the digestive system. The digestive system. And the conscious intellect is the mouth. The mouth. The mouth. Now, your mouth is conscious of what goes into it. The nose is supposed to sense it. The nose is what they call a sixth sense, symbolic of a sixth sense. It sometimes can detect something that shouldn't go in the mouth before it even reaches the mouth. It'll detect something that says, no, don't let that in. A sixth sense. The mouth, it takes it in, and if it's dirty tasting, it spits it out. If it's spoiled tasting, it wants to spit it out. If it's too hard for the teeth, for the mouth to handle, it wants to get rid of it right away or break it down, take it and hit it with a hammer or something or send it through a grinder or something and get it ready for the mouth. So the mouth is the checkpoint, isn't it? Mouth is the checkpoint. The nose is a checkpoint too, but the nose is a checkpoint for things that may fool the mouth. things that may fool the mouth. You know, sometimes something smells bad but tastes good. Sometimes something smells good and tastes bad. You see? So the nose is a checkpoint for things that may deceive the mouth. And the nose has a history of checking things. So it tells the mouth, look, I've checked that 1,000 times. Don't put that in your mouth. Just, hey, don't take that. No, don't open your mouth for that. You know? If we can think about our soul as consciousness, I think we can refer to ourselves as soul people and get positive results. But this talking about ourselves as soul people, since the time we started this habit, has not had positive results. It has had negative results. Why? Because soul to us is unconscious life, not conscious life. When we speak of ourselves as soul people, we think of the unconscious side of our life. And we give more credit and more interest, pay more attention, and glorify, have more pride in ourselves being soul folks than we have in ourselves being rational people. And that's a serious, serious, costly mistake. Believe me. Believe me. Yes. And then the establishment help us in that direction by making it easy for us to have Soul Train on the television. Soul Train. Comes on. Soul Train. I think they finally modernized that train. Long after the steam engine was antiquated, they would still have that poof, 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 steam. Puffing steam. Choo, 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 poof, 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 choo, 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 poof. And that's what we became, a people that choo, 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 poof, 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 choo, 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 poof, poof, poof. Blowing off steam and choo, choo, choo. And choking on our words instead of speaking clearly. Choking out what we have to say. Choo, choo. I know it's a little humor to this. And that's my recipe. I put a little humor in everything. But my humor is very serious, and I hope you accept it as being very serious. So much for that. Let me go back now to the point in Scripture, and that is we want to realize the materialization for that potential that God created us with. And that is the motivation to be free. That should be the motivation to be free. Free to realize that original potential that God created us with. So let me go back now to Adam. And in our Islam, in our religion, in Islam, we are told that Adam was created in heaven. God created him in heaven. And I believe the other great religions see it that way. Created him in heaven. What does that mean? I tell you what it means. Go to the nursery, any hospital, and see the baby just put there. That baby is in heaven. That baby is in heaven. The baby in the womb is really in heaven. The baby in the mother's womb is really in heaven. It knows no misery. It feeds on its mother's system. It lives on its mother's system until it develops to the point where it's too big to be satisfied by that small environment. Then it becomes uncomfortable, and as I said, it begins to want to knock on the door of the womb and push on it and punch at it and tear out there to get out of there. Yeah. But even when it comes out, the baby that comes delivered today from his mother will accept to go directly from her African-American womb or from her European-American womb to the womb of another race. I mean, to the parent of another race. And actually, it's a womb, too, because the care that's provided by the parent after birth from the physical womb is also a womb of care. a womb of parent care, parental care, isn't it? Yes. So when the baby is delivered from the physical womb of its parent, it is ready to accept to be parented by any parent, no matter what the color is. And it comes here with the expression that is universal. Ain't no Japanese born speaking Japanese. No. All of them come here with baby language. They cry the baby, they cry baby. They will make the attention for notice that is the language of babies universally found on this earth. Huh? Yes. So, and they come here with no motivation to be criminal. No motivation to be criminal. Now, if you study the history of crime, criminology, in America's, in the history of American legal system, you'll find that American authorities ruled at one time, long time ago, that criminal behavior cannot be inherited. Criminal behavior cannot be inherited. Now, isn't that a wonderful God? Now, a plant, an apple seed will inherit everything in an apple before it. It's taste and everything. But the human seed does not have to come with the taste of his father, or with the taste of his mother, or with the taste of some parent that was in his past. Every human being born comes with independent a choice and ability to develop its own taste. What will decide it is not its birth in the womb, but its circumstances in the environment of those who have come from the original life, the original inherent excellence. Eh? The environment that is placed in. So if it's placed in an environment of criminals, it still have a chance, but its chances are much slimmer now. Huh? Now we know that a child can be born to a prostitute and not become a prostitute. A child can be born to a murderer and not become a murderer. So we know that even the chance of keeping the good life after you're put in a bad environment is still there, and there is some chance that you don't have to come under the influence of a criminal or a murderous or cheating or lying or vulgar environment. Huh? Because many of us survive that, don't we? Many of us were put in such circumstances and we survived it. In spite of our mothers being just a person that had no care, no kind of interest, no kind of responsibility, accepted no responsibility whatsoever, gave her life to destruction. We didn't follow our mother. Some of us saw a father that did nothing but break laws and go to jail, run after just back and forth, always going in and out of jail. And we did not follow father. Huh? There are some fathers who were radicals of such extreme that they made trouble for society and killed innocent people, but we didn't follow them. Huh? Yes. And really, if you examine the history of this problem that I'm talking about right now, that I'm addressing right now, you'll find that it's a better chance than 50-50, even after you come into an environment that is against your original nature. It is a better chance than 50-50 that you will survive it and still prosper. That is, prosper with the excellence God created you with. Better than 50-50. You might say, well, Mr. Muhammad, if the chances are better, you don't have to call me Mr., but you all say that. You might say, well, Mr. Muhammad, or W. Dean, or Muhammad, whatever you call me, say, if chances are that good, then how come we don't have 50% of our race that's in good shape? You have more than 50% of our race in good shape. There is more than 50% of our people that are in good shape. If it wasn't, there would be 50% of us dying, going to jail, being killed, selling dope. We don't have that great percentage doing that. It's a much smaller percentage of us that's going to jail and selling narcotics or being the victims of drugs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. On alcohol, an alcoholic, or into prostitution. Those of us that are wasting our life in those illegal avenues of the world are not nearly 50% of us. And those who are turned off to decency and turned off to intelligence are much less than 50% of us. So we have much better chance than 50. I just gave, say, 50. But we have a better chance than that. We have better than a 50% or 50-50 chance of surviving even after we are put in bad circumstances. Our whole race today, when we look at the race of people on the whole, we see a race that can be commended, complimented. In spite of the bad turn that we have taken over the last 10 or 20 years to go to drugs and violence and destruction, self-destruction, and forget the original direction or the original motivation in our life as people on this continent. Yes, in spite of that, we still can say our race is a race to be complimented. Colin Powell, Carolyn Mosley Braun, Roland Barris, and on and on and on, I can name them, in politics, in education, in the culture, even. We have some excellent people in entertainment culture and in the general culture of American society.